The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week and kind of spoiled for choice on subjects to talk about. Let's start off talking about the Facebook purge, as people are calling it. Facebook has banned or unpublished over 800 user pages and accounts. And this is incredible. The reason that they say for this is for these accounts spamming. Sure. All at once. And all of these are anti-establishment pages, I guess you could say. These pages are both on the left and right of the spectrum. Let's take a look at some of these pages that got banned. The Free Thought Project. Now, this is a libertarian page. You know, as much as I love libertarians, I really don't follow a lot of them. I just don't spend a lot of time on social media. But I've heard of the Free Thought Project. The widely known website, which calls itself a hub for free thinking conversations, focuses on government transparency. Founded in 2013 by Jason Bassler and Matt Agarist, the site claims to shed light on corrupt entities across our planet. Its reports have covered the Monsanto row, police brutality and shootings in the U.S., as well as insight into how the American government gets personal information about any citizen. Banned on Facebook and banned on Twitter. So after Facebook banned these people, they went to Twitter to cry about it, and that in itself resulted in a ban. So the thing about this is that Twitter used to ban people and give some phony reason, right? Now they don't even give you a reason. So I've seen screen caps, which is basically a picture of their computer screen. I've seen screen caps of the reason. They don't have one. They say you have been banned or whatever from Twitter because of, and then it's blank. They don't give a reason now. So that's incredible. Facebook and Twitter, they're claiming that you've banned their, that you violated their terms of service, and so they've banned you, but they don't even have a reason why, right? So you don't know the reason. You can't fix it. You can't prevent it. This has got to be, I mean, this smacks of just, you know, kowtowing to the government for some reason, right? I mean, obviously, all of these places getting banned at once, this is insane, you know, across platforms. You know, if one platform was doing it, you could kind of see it. But remember how Alex Jones got banned from everything all at the same time? And everybody was like, well, he didn't get banned from Twitter. But as soon as the government hearing was over and Twitter was out of the woods, they instantly banned Alex Jones also for a phony reason. My opinion, a phony reason. Guys, this is obviously censorship. It's not even hidden now. It's incredibly transparent what these people are doing. It's time for a new platform to come up and take its place. I mean, this is how it is, right? Look at Google when they started. They said, you know, we're a nice company. Their number one rule was do no evil. And now that rule isn't even on their list of talking points of their platform, their reason for being. It's not even there. So pretty interesting, you know, how you start off as the rebel, and then you become the establishment, right? But now these places are the establishment, and it's time to replace them. There's a great Twitter alternative called Gab. they're simple as a frog. So, you know, I don't really care that they are this frog has sort of become a right wing or alt-right, you could say, sort of symbol, whether it's deserved or not. And so Gab having a frog there, I get what they're going for, but I would rather have a platform that's actually truly completely neutral, although Gab is. I mean, I've seen some left-wing stuff on there. So Gab.com is the Twitter alternative. And I've seen some YouTube alternatives. I can't think of them off the top of my head right now. But there has to be some Facebook alternatives out there. I don't know, because this is a mess. This is a mess. So the Free Thought Project. How many subscriptions did they have? They had 3.1 million followers. And that's it, just disenfranchised. Amazing. Amazing. Let's see. Another page here. Anti-media. The anti-media, initially launched on Facebook by blogger and entrepreneur Nick Bernabe, the anti-media is now an independent news aggregator with a hefty amount of followers. You know, that's funny, because I was thinking that we need a news aggregation site that takes news from independent sources, like an independent news aggregation site. The group, which poses as nonpartisan and anti-establishment, publishes loads of mainstream stories, including ones dealing with the UN report about a number of civilian casualties in Afghanistan, the Tesla crisis, and Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. They're banned on Facebook and banned on Twitter. What a coincidence. Amazing. Amazing. Police the Police, 1.9 million followers. A page dedicated to exposing U.S. police brutality. The name of the group is apparently inspired by heated discussions following the recent string of deadly shootings by police officers across the country. People on social media, critics, and analysts wonder who will regulate the police when there is evidence of misconduct. Banned on Facebook, banned on Twitter. Guys, this is ridiculous. You know, whether or not you agree with the philosophy of these pages, the fact that people can no longer access them is a shame. It's an embarrassment to these companies, I would think. And to a degree, to us as citizens of the country, that we put up with this. Now, I do believe that a private entity is able to regulate themselves. They can do what they want. But when influenced by government, now we're stepping into the realm of corruption. And I believe that this is what's happening. I have faith in the free market, and I think that other competitors will step up to take the place of these now corrupted entities. But the time that it takes to do that is slow, and these companies know that, and they, in my opinion, are trying to influence the midterm elections by restricting the flow of information. The true fourth estate, the press, is being restricted. Whereas what is, in my opinion, the phony fourth estate, the establishment press, in my mind, that basically takes up a whole different slot because of the influence that the government now is exerting over them. They are reporting stories with a very obvious slant. They're reporting things that are untrue about events that are happening in foreign countries, and the independent media that provides a counterpoint is being stifled or wiped out. You know, you guys didn't protect Alex Jones. The left-wing press was ecstatic when Alex Jones got banned, and the right-wing press was, for the most part, silent. At least the establishment press was. The independent right-wing press was not. They were screaming about it to high heaven, and good for them. But the left-wingers loved it, and now look what happens to you. So a bunch of these left-wing sites got banned also. So establishment news remains. CBS is safe. ABC is safe. But the Free Thought Project and the anti-media are gone off of these platforms. 1984 is becoming realer and realer every day. You know, these companies think that they are convincing themselves, obviously, because this is so obviously wrong. I mean, have there not been enough books in popular fiction that have emphasized this point over and over again, that banning free thought, free speech, I should say, is wrong? Sure, it's a company that's allowed to do it. That doesn't make it right. We should know this as Americans. And yet we have this argument over and over again. It's ridiculous. We as people are able to identify what is correct and what's not. Okay, we're smart enough to do that. We know what fake news is through communication. Even if somebody takes a story as being real, as soon as they spread it a few times to their friends, it gets corrected. Okay, it gets fixed. We have sites that fact check things. Okay, we're able to think for ourselves, as evidenced by the 2016 election. Okay, we don't need these places regulating the flow of information for us, especially when they're so poor at doing it. They take stories that are fake and allow them to continue. They allow the news to emphasize stories that aren't important, and they de-emphasize or fail to publish at all stories that are very important. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Facebook has got the right idea, and they just want to make sure that we only hear, you know, news from sources that have got it right, right? That have the most intelligent commentators and, you know, insight into the news that's happening today. So, you know, here's a bit of news. We had Kanye West visited the White House. Let's turn over to CNN's Don Lemon show, and let's hear what some of his commentators have to remark about this incident.
Kanye West is what happens when Negroes don't read. And we have this now, and now Donald Trump is going to use it and pervert it, and he's going to have somebody who can stand with him and take pictures.
You know, I don't even really have to remark on this. These dummies are doing all the talking for me, right? I mean, you listen to that. Is that intelligent commentary to you? So they put that on Twitter. They think that this is actually newsworthy. They're actually happy about what they're doing here. So Kanye West, who's a famous, you know, rapper guy, he goes and he visits Trump. Donald Trump, look, the presidents are always going to do these things, right? They do these kind of publicity stunt things. And Donald Trump is a big star. Of course, he's going to get somebody who's sympathetic towards his administration, who's famous, to go and visit him. He had, like, Kid Rock again over the weekend or whatever. So I mean, that's what they do. They like to do these publicity stunts. Why do I call it a publicity stunt? Because he doesn't have to trot Kanye West out in front of the public. He could just meet him in private and say, hey, you know what? You have a lot of pull, you know, in the black community. People talk to you. You got your ear to the ground, sort of. Tell me what the bulk of what you're hearing out there about me and what needs to be fixed in the country, right? Or even better, how about he just talks to some regular people? That would be great, okay? So I don't know if he is or not. I don't know what Donald Trump's deal is. But all I do know is that they have gone insane. The press has gone crazy over this pretty harmless meeting with Donald Trump. And I think I know the real reason why. You know, they're calling Kanye's sanity into question. Is Kanye nuts? Yeah, he's nuts. But that doesn't make it wrong for him to meet with a president. He's allowed to do these publicity stunts. It's okay. It's all right to do them. So, you know, did anybody scream and cry when you had Hillary Clinton doesn't go to the states that she feels she has in the bag already, you know, doesn't bother to service them at all, but has, who's that singer, Jay-Z and Beyonce do a full-fledged concert for her. So, I mean, you know, I don't take away these goofy publicity stunts. But what I'm enjoying seeing is the incredible reaction to them. And I know why. I know the reason why. It's because they're afraid that Donald Trump is going to get popular with the so-called Democrat base of minorities here. They're really afraid that people are going to start thinking for themselves, and people do think for themselves. It's very obvious. But, you know, the flow of information is important because people can make right choices when they have all the information. And when you have someone like Kanye West, who is famous and a lot of people do like, so whether you agree with him or not, you are paying attention to what he's got to say. It's polling for a Republican, which goes against the stereotype, right? 13% of blacks voted for Trump in the previous election, right? And I asked my girlfriend, I said, so how many, what do you think Donald Trump's approval rating is among blacks nowadays? And to me, personally, I would think that that would be low. The reason is because of the constant stream of press and messages that we're getting that Republicans hate minorities, they hate blacks specifically. And so I would think that, well, if I was black and I keep getting told that someone hates me, I'm probably going to believe that. You know, they keep talking, running story after story, show after show about how Donald Trump is a bigot. So to me, I would think that that would lower the rating. My girlfriend, who's very intelligent sometimes, says, well, I would think it'd be about 40%. It turns out to be about 36%. I said, why would you think that it would be 40%? And she says, because Trump's approval rating is about that high. And, you know, among people is that high. Blacks are people. Despite what the liberals would have you believe, you know, they would think that the liberals would have you think that any minority cannot clothe, feed, or otherwise take care of themselves, right? They can't get a driver's license. They're incapable of, you know, figuring out where the closest DMV is. They are just completely helpless without white people helping them out, right? So that is the thinking of your typical liberal. Whereas my girlfriend is a classic liberal and, you know, just thinks that people are people, which is absolutely correct. And so she's able to predict what the percentages are. Speaking of insane liberals, so here's what Alec Baldwin says. Alec Baldwin, of course, has been parroting Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live for a little while now. And this dummy is what he parodies Trump to be, okay? Here's a quote. He says this to the Hollywood Reporter, okay? Quote, I don't know how to say this, and I don't want to get it wrong either, because everything is a minefield of bombs going off. But ever since I played Trump, black people love me. They love me. Everywhere I go, black people go crazy. I think it's because they're mostly afraid of Trump. I'm not going to paint every African-American person with the same brush. But a significant number of them are sitting there going, this is going to be bad for black folks. So this is exactly what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you're this social justice warrior liberal, and you believe that the whole world of minorities are throwing you up on their shoulders, like C-3PO with the Ewoks, right? And they're just like giving you all this adulation. It's because they see minorities as being below them. That's the reason. They do not see them as equals. So when they do these stupid stunts, they actually believe that they are the champions of people of color. And they couldn't be more wrong, okay? I wish someone would burst Alec Baldwin's bubble and just let him know that people of color don't care about you, okay? Nobody cares about you, all right? You're not a hero. You're not a champion. You're just a funny guy on TV, and we look at you, and we laugh sometimes, all right? The only person who thinks that you're changing the world is you. And these guys have gone crazy. But, I mean, I love it. I love watching it. But it's a shame. I'm worried that these people are going to get into power and make things even worse. At least right now, these are just human cries, right? They're not actually doing anything. But I'm worried that they're going to get in there and actually start messing things up for everyone, okay? So, oh, God, here's another example. Here's another example, guys. So, we have Eric Holder, all right? Eric Fast and Furious Holder. This dummy says, you know what? Let me find a clip here. So, this is Eric Holder, and he's talking about Michelle Obama when she said, when they go low, we go high. Which is kind of funny to me because if anyone goes low, it's the Democrats, right? But everyone has their own perceptions. Anyway, here's Eric Holder's take on it.
But Michelle says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No. No. When they go low, we kick them.
Now, many people disputed whether or not this was a call to violence. I mean, it's definitely violent imagery, right? And when you take these things that are happening, so for instance, remember the mob at Kavanaugh's confirmation? I mean, they're banging on the doors. It's very frightening. And take this statement from Hillary Clinton. And take Hillary Clinton, please. So this is Hillary Clinton on CNN, and a reporter asked her a question.
Do you see any way, even a conservative thing who I was speaking of yesterday said the only way to repair America is to try to get back to some civility and to try to make it that even if we have political disagreements, we're not going to war with each other. We're not trying to destroy each other.
Well, certainly I would love to see us return to civility, listening to one another, working out our differences. That is not the Republican Party that exists today, and that is certainly not the administration that we have in power right now.
So the reporter is saying, you know, that a Republican said the only way to, you know, unite the country again is to return to civility, and then defines it as not warring with each other, not destroying each other. And then Hillary Clinton gets on, and even she defines civility as saying that we will listen to each other, and that we will try to resolve our differences. Well, she said working out our differences. But then right after that, she says that's not the Republican Party today. So in other words, she's saying that unless we get rid of the Republicans' power, we cannot have a return to civility. In other words, we can't listen to each other or work out our differences. Or if you're going by the other person's definition, that we must war with each other and we must destroy each other. And if you don't believe me, here's so then Hillary Clinton gives an example of Merrick Garland not getting a hearing for the Supreme Court nomination. And then she says this.
That you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength.
Guys, does she not sound like a comic book villain or a movie villain justifying why they're the villain? Isn't that what that sounds like? The only thing that so respects is strength, so we've got to be as bad or worse than they are. Thankfully, we don't need Hillary's permission to be civil towards each other. Everybody, thanks for joining.